It's Dieter and Jake, and we're back on a Tuesday, and the season is over, so we're figuring out what to do with ourselves before we dive full in to the NFL draft. Jake, how was your weekend, buddy? How you doing?
It was great. It was great. I mean, I know some people miss some Niners football. I was kind of, I had a lovely
not
weekend.
This team.
I went shopping.
Oh,
okay. You know, did some Christmas shopping.
Yeah.
Got a beer in the middle of the afternoon on a Sunday.
Marvelous.
That was pretty delightful. Hung out. Watched Lord of the Rings.
Have you ever seen Lord of the Rings before this moment?
I had.
Okay.
I had. My girlfriend had not. And we watched the first Harry Potter movie. So
I went to go see Lord of the Rings with my family in the theaters back when it came out, because I'm that old. And I was there. It was, you know, my mom and my dad. It's like, hey, let's do something. I think it was Christmas or Thanksgiving. And my mom fell asleep maybe an hour into the movie. She slept hard for 2 straight hours. And then she woke up and Sam and Frodo are still walking. And she exclaims to a theater of raptured guests, they didn't get rid of the fucking ring? And I can't unsee and unhear that statement. But will you tell me they didn't get rid of the fucking ring?
It's funny because it's like a three-hour movie, maybe 3.5. And then
part of 3 movies, right?
And you also have to watch the extended version of one of them. And listen, this is where I'm going with this. I know it's extremely annoying to do the thing where you're like, oh, you got to watch the extended version.
Yeah.
But they leave out a massive plot point in the last one.
Marvelous.
So
the last one that won the Academy Award for Best Picture left out a major plot point.
It left out an enormous plot point.
And this is why I don't watch the Oscars anymore, folks. We're going to talk about a team that deserves no trophies. And does feel like sometimes you're watching Lord of the Rings. They didn't get rid of the fucking ring. They're not going to win the fucking ring after all of that. It is. What do we want to see next time, Jake? Before we dive into what's next,
right,
we have to figure out what we're looking for. And we will address, of course, the Brock Purdy contract situation,
yes,
which has no actual hooks to current situation. Like, there's no reason to be talking about this right now, but everyone wants to talk about it right now because apparently the referendum is after week 15. Heaven forbid we see 3 more games and then have a better idea. But, you know, that's just one man's opinion. We can talk about it.
That's because everybody is just now realizing what we realized weeks ago, which is that it's over.
Yeah.
And so they're going, all right, if it's over, we got to pay Brock. What do we do? Do we pay Brock?
Yeah. Well, luckily, we have both thought this one through well before today, and we can address that situation in due time. But Jake, before we do that, I want to go through, you know, we're all putting together our wish lists. We're all hoping to see some stuff under the tree or next to a menorah. I don't really know how that works. Also, Kwanzaa, I don't think is a real thing. Just full stop. Sorry. I grew up on the south side of Chicago. Like, I didn't know anyone who celebrated Kwanzaa. Seems fake to me.
Well,
if
Hanukkah,
you celebrate Kwanzaa,
the whole Hanukkah gift thing is just because kids were getting gifts and they're like, all right, I guess we'll do it for Hanukkah too.
Okay. So, I mean, listen, I respect it. I'm just saying, if anyone, not even if you celebrate Kwanzaa, but if anyone you know celebrates Kwanzaa, let us know in the comments section. Because legitimately, the entire internet, I'm not sure anyone does, because I've never run across anybody in my real life who celebrates Kwanzaa. Leave that for what it might be worth. I am, of course, a very white man. Holiday wish list. We'll just call it holiday wish list because for those who celebrate Kwanzaa, these are the things you want to see in the final 3 weeks of the season. I'm going to start it off. I think we're going to be on the same page.
Yep.
I want to see Slick Rick play X receiver. I just did a little charting, Jake. I went into the old all 22, and I thought to myself, man, felt like Ricky was open a lot, but I don't really know if Ricky was open a lot. Let me just hop down and let me just chart out every one of Ricky Pearsall's routes. And thank goodness we have the technology to make that relatively easy. 22 routes run, Jake. I was being conservative when I was padding this up. He was open 18 out of 22 times. 18, 4 times, so wide open, the fact that the ball didn't go to him was malpractice. He was twice very tightly covered. That's a fair thing. So, and then 2 times he had to block. That was the entire point of his route, was to block.
Yeah.
18 out of 22. That some bitch be open. Throw him the football.
This goes back to the tape breakdown we did weeks ago where people were panicking about Ricky. And I was like, there's nothing to panic about. And if there is something, we'll let you know. And now and he finally got the ball and everyone's like, wait, why aren't we throwing him the ball?
I mean, legitimately, I went on Larry's stream on Saturday because of Thursday Night Football. And he's like, I think he's a bust. I'm telling you this right now. In the hypothetical stock market world that we exist in, I will buy all of your Ricky Pearsall stock. I'll buy every single share of it. You want to sell it? Give it to me. I'm going to hoard it and I'm going to be so goddamn rich. I'm just going to rub it in your faces. I'm going to be one of those like mean rich guys. That's how rich I'm going to be when this Ricky Pearsall stock hits, Jake. I imagine you feel the same way.
Yeah, I tried to get him in a dynasty league. So that's how I feel about him because I was like, I can get him for real cheap, but couldn't get him. Tried to
really should have done that.
I was.
In retrospect,
I should have done it. I can still do it. Still do it in the offseason.
I think you need to push. I think you need to push, Jake.
He's a stud. I mean, we'll see it. We'll see, you know, how it pans out in this offense and how they end up using him. But he's snapping off on routes. The one he snapped off against Akella Witherspoon, the top of that.
To be fair, against Akella Witherspoon is an operative word.
Who had a good day for Akella Witherspoon standards, no question. He was playing physical. He was playing physical, seeing what he could get away with.
Totally. Can we also note, I mean, this is neither here nor there, but it should have been PI on the interception that ended the game on Thursday. It was blatant illegal contact downfield. I'm cool with letting him play like I am. But and maybe that game in particular is not a great example because Brock was throwing it into such tight coverage the entire game. It's impossible to discern what's sort of hand fighting and what's not. But whomever I can't remember the gentleman on the Rams who got the interception, a full forearm shiver to
Darius Williams.
Hell of a play if you can get away with it. If you can play that way, you should do it every single time. Seattle Seahawks, Legion of Boom. That was blatant PI. Absolutely blatant PI. Ricky is clearly
Shout out Cam's dad real quick. Ricky is clearly talented to anyone with eyes. Just want to shout that out.
I haven't seen anything that makes me dispute what I saw with my own eyes in training camp, or actually what I heard. Nothing will make me unhear Leonard Hankerson, wide receivers coach, yelling out, "God damn!" at the top of his lungs after he broke off a route just during a drill. Just like they were giggling with glee off of this guy. And now you see it. I thought the Rams game might have been his finest performance of the year. He was working them boys.
I remember asking safeties coach Daniel Bullocks about him because I was like, so, you know, do you notice this guy out there? Sometimes you get, yeah, he's looking good. And Daniel Bullocks is like, he has a presence.
he's making my life very difficult right now.
You feel him out there. No question. For a rookie. So, yeah. It's clear. I think the Rams game, after a game where they couldn't get the offense going in Green Bay, they had the game against the Bills that was in the snow. Yeah. Like, can we have, you know, a real game here that's not the Chicago Bears?
Right.
And then you play the Rams, and he looked fantastic. They're funneling it through Juwan Jennings, and they're looking at him, even though Juwan's a really good receiver. He's not an X receiver.
Well, that's what I'm getting at, Jake. Like, let Juwan do what Juwan does. I think you need to be, maybe this is a subsection of gift A here that I'm looking for. Like, let's get some more 11 personnel in our lives. I don't need to see Kyle Juszczyk again. Just shake his hand, say, hey, I don't want you to get injured before you hit free agency. Best of luck to you, my friend. Hell of a service term for us. And we're going to move on, but we don't have a tight end. We can put Sauber back there, or maybe try, you know, Tonjes as an H-back sort of a thing, the way they did with Charlie Warner at times last year, and Atlanta's apparently still doing with him. But, like, let's go to 11 personnel. Let's spread out this offense a little bit for Brock Purdy. This is something I think they wanted to do in the preseason but really weren't allowed to do. And this is totally a guess because of the lack of preparation time that they appreciably had. So let's get a more 11 personnel, and that means, hey, let's put Juwan Jennings back at the flanker spot where he was before, where he has been so exceptional, because when I'm watching the tape of that Rams game, I'm seeing Kyle doing a whole lot to get Juwan Jennings off the line of scrimmage, trying to get him a little bit of cushion, a little bit of free release just to get open. And It barely works. It sacrifices everything. You're funneling the ball to Debo early. You're sacrificing good open looks to wide receivers who are open. You're doing all this extra shit to get Juwan Jennings a little bit of cushion at the line of scrimmage. I got an idea. Just play 11 personnel, have Jennings on the field all the time, and play him at flanker, where you never have to worry about this.
I'm with you. I think they should absolutely be using Ricky as an X. At the very least, he should be the second receiver. I was saying at the start of the season, I thought they would use Ricky as the Z.
And he did a lot of Z in the last game. Honestly, they were doing so much trying to get JJ clean looks off the line that it was very difficult to discern who was the X and who was the Z. And that's pretty typical, but this one felt more extreme.
There's a lot of interchangeability with it. For me, I don't care where you put him. Just look his way. He's not the first look on almost any throw.
That's right.
There was the one that they actually completed it to. I think he was the only primary read.
Yes.
I think that of all of his routes, I think that was the only one he was the primary read. On the interception,
yeah,
he was like an obvious check down option on the same side.
And Kittle was open on the opposite side there. I mean, the two big plays, there are three plays that stand out to me with Ricky, plays where the ball came his way. There might have been one more, but he had, of course, the catch. It's a nice catch. Clearly the primary read on that one. He gets open. Brock's looking his way right down the seam. Money ball, legitimately. The other one is, of course, the missed touchdown, where he has the angle, he has the leverage on a post route, and Brock just gives him a little pigeon.
It's not even, Brock both.
It was a bad throw. Everything else was perfect. Throw.
It was like obviously it didn't have the zip on it, whatever, but it was just in the wrong direction.
Totally.
Like he was misaligned. Like he should have, a ref standing between the hashes that he should have been throwing it at. And he just pulled Pierce all out of it.
And I think Brock at that point realized that he can't throw the same ball that he could have before the shoulder. And this is when I was going through these things. I texted you. Like, he's never had the deep, deep ball, but he doesn't miss those throws that often. He doesn't miss it in that manner. So then I think back to one of the final plays of the game. In fact, I think it was the penultimate play of the game, where it was the deep out to Pierce all, and Brock put too much anticipation on the throw and threw it out to the sidelines as Pearsall, who was never even contacted by anybody, is breaking out, runs a totally normal, perfect route. But Brock overthrows him by 5 yards because he thought it was going to flutter more than it did. So now he's compensating off of, I underthrew him the last time and the direction wasn't there. I thought it would have me. So now Brock's all twisted up, and that's enough about Pearsall. Our stance is well established at this point. He needs to be the number one option in the pass game moving forward in the last 3 weeks. I want to see what we got, and I want to rub it in Larry's face, if I'm being totally honest.
I'm with you. Number two on my list.
Let me hear it.
Pause. Drake Nugent. Let's see the Nuge. Let's see the Nuge. I think realistically, you actually want to see more of what's going on at left guard than at center. But I think either way, you don't really have an option. Sebastian Gutierrez is promoted. I don't think they have much belief in him. The Nuge, I would promote him from the practice squad and just start playing him.
Do you try him at guard?
No.
No, just center only. So Brendel's out, Nuge is in.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like I don't think they will do that. I think they might do that like week 17, week 18.
I would love to see. I mean, shit, we're almost there. You might as well get a free trip to Miami out of the procedure.
You should. Just get some young legs in there. I don't know. I don't see how that could, unless you're worried about Brock getting hurt because you have a backup center. I don't think the drop off is going to be that steep.
Right.
Right. I mean, if you're keeping Aaron Banks in, you should be pretty worried about that as it is. I would say you don't know exactly what the Nuge is unless you don't want teams to see him and you're more worried about keeping him around for next year. I would say it would seem more important to me to keep him around, see if he's actually a capable player,
right,
and then have some sort of competition. See if it's worth having a competition for him playing rather than having to go out and sign somebody like Drew Dahlman or drafting another center.
And you suggested Dahlman separately. I mean, he might cost $50 million.
Correct.
Is that something that's reasonable or amenable to the San Francisco 49ers right now?
Yeah, you can do it. Okay, you know what? They can always make that money work.
Is he
very good? Okay, he's very good. We can look at that. Can be an off season.
I mean, yeah, I'm not looking into Drew Drollman today. We got enough going on. I got to figure out just how open Ricky Pearsall is in the here and now. Let me give you first off, I wouldn't be opposed to trying him at guard just for shits and grins. And then move him over. I would try to get him. I would try to figure out what you have, and then I would try to get him under contract for next year so that he's not floating around. And they do that. That's a lot of procedural stuff. I would imagine that's something, if they are all in on him, that they would be they'd be about right now, seeing as they've already started moving money around and things like that for post June 1 cuts. So let's see the Nuge. Let's see the Nuge. And if we're going to throw in another guy, like, let's see some Daryl Luter in our lives. Let's see some Cowing. There's not a lot of guys who haven't been tested yet on this team. Like, with the nature of the injuries, who are these young players we'd like to see more of? We're really scraping bottom of the barrel here with Cowing.
That's where we're at. That's where we're at this season.
And, like, let's see Daryl Luter, a sentence that no one has ever uttered in the history.
Yeah, I'd like
of
to see him over Isaac Yiadom down the stretch. Let's see what he's got. They hyped him up quite a bit.
Yeah.
You know?
That's the Nuge. Larry's going to be all over him next year. Apparently, we have it. And by the way, Strawberry.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Isn't he on IR? Yeah. All the more reason to see him. No, I'm kidding. That's how forgotten he has been. So don't see Luter because he might be on IR. We'll check the tape. when Daryl Luter goes on IR, it doesn't register.
He is on IR.
That's good to know. Correct. Okay.
By the way, they just waived Ambry Thomas.
I saw that. They waited 16 weeks.
They didn't have to do for any reason. And it's funny because I saw Nick Corte, who's the compensatory pick guy for over the cap.
Yeah.
And he was like, I don't understand why they would do that. They could get a compensatory pick. And we're like, come on.
Could they now?
Are they really?
Could they now?
Are they really?
The NFL's like, come on now. Come on. 1-888. Get serious now.
Why did they waive him? Probably to say, all right, whatever, you're healthy.
Fuck you.
You don't. We don't really, you know, get out of here. We're not going to keep you around anyway. But right,
let me go back to my wish list. If he would be factored in,
that is, which he would have, it's a little weird.
Yeah. Okay, let me go back to my wish list. Let's see Isaac Arendo get the full CMC playbook here. I like him as a pass catcher. I like the possibilities there. I don't feel like Kyle threw caution to the wind in that game against the Rams and trusted Garendo enough to operate the CMC playbook. I'm not saying he can. I'd like to find out. I'd like him to be bumped out into the X receiver spot. I'd like him in some motion. I'd like him moving around. I want to do the full versatile running back thing that they only do with 23 in the backfield, do it with 31 in the backfield, because you might be surprised. And worst case scenario, who cares?
He had a route in this game where he stemmed out. He sort of turned his back and just snapped off over the middle. And it would have been a minimum of a 5-yard gain, and then Purdy threw it a yard behind him, and he had to make a diving catch in the opposite direction. But I knew he had some receiving chops. That was way more impressive than I was expecting.
It's more than Debo Samuel's done all year. And he's bigger. So, you know, which is, you know, they're neck and neck on that one. So I'd like to see Isaac Arendo get the full CMC playbook for the final three games. Why the hell not? Can I throw one more? I already said this. I said this on the Thursday night stream. I want one fake punt. That's it.
Yes.
Just one.
Yes.
I want to see Kyle Shanahan. And it can be the most obvious. I just want to see him try one time to do something that isn't inherently conservative. None of this conflict. Oh, we're going to put the linebackers in. If I see this, then I'll do this, and then I'll see that. You know, first half is script. Second half is players. If you wonder why perhaps the 49ers have failed time and time again in the second half, when you have sort of a egomaniac, or at least a megalomaniac, somebody who is very impressed by their own intelligence, and they script it up. And I mean, the level of script on these plays that Kyle calls is so detailed. Like, you've seen the video where he'll go up to a referee and say he's about to be held. Like, that level of X equals Y equals Z. when you don't have that in the second half, when you're not told every single thing that you can and should do, you don't have the freedom and you don't have the confidence to operate just sort of in the space. You're not allowed to play ball. Everything is scripted. You're not allowed to play ball. Kyle Shanahan needs to reestablish a level of frivolity to this organization because he's withering on the vine right now. Trying
I kind of love it.
Well, I don't. I'm afraid for the man's own health. But
well, just real quick, Pat O'Donnell kind of looks like a Jimmy Garoppolo cousin. So
absolutely
I feel like
could.
This is absolutely in character.
As long as it's not outside the numbers.
Real quick, want to address this. I disagree, Kamzat. I don't think Callen will be gone after year two. Think about how long Ronnie Bell stuck around. I have a hard time, given that logic, that Jacob Cowan will suddenly be gone, given that they need every young manageable contract that they have for anyone who's even theoretically half decent, and he catches punts. He'll stick around.
I'm with you. At the same time, there is something weird happening there.
Yeah, it's they're not putting him out there. I'm not impressed.
So I just want to see Kyle say, hey, we got nothing to lose. We got nothing to gain. Fuck it. Let's fake a punt one time. Just one time. Why the hell not?
Yeah. I also had a different. This is my third what we want to see.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a different one. It was going to be defense. It was going to be simulated overloaded pressures.
What?
Basically
what are those?
Basically copy the game plans that have been thrown against your offense and start overloading one side with simulated pressures and play a lot of press man coverage attached to it. What I want to say after this discussion, I want to see a Brock Purdy pooch punt.
Could it come in Miami, which is going to be his best game? The Brock Purdy pooch punt. I recently saw the Randall Cunningham pooch punt, which is, I believe, the longest punt in NFL history. I think it's a 98-yard punt. Have you ever seen
this? Doug Flutie?
Oh, you're talking drop kick? Fuck Doug Flutie's legacy?
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone on the team can do a drop kick.
How many players on the team do you think know what a drop kick is?
Five. That's a number that came to my head. I bet they all know it from the Doug Flutie highlight video. So how many 100%. Guys are on YouTube? And fuck that, they're not even looking on YouTube. How many of them are on Instagram and have some sort of NFL throwback account that they follow or have algorithmically sent their way? Because that's the only way. It's somebody's ripping off NFL films and putting it on Instagram. That's the only way that these guys know what that is. I'm going to bet that Juice knows it. Hate that that's who I immediately went to, but you know that he does. I'm going to say that Banks knows it. I'm going to say, this is now, you can decode this one pretty fast. I'm going to say that Dobbs knows about it. I'm going to say that Kittle probably knows about it. He seems like a very deep well of NFL knowledge. And I'm probably leaving out seven or eight guys, but
that sounds about right. I think that's a good group.
Yeah. I bet Conley knows it.
Also, real quick.
I bet Conley can do it.
Probably. I bet you. Jeff, love your questions. You're about 2 months too early.
I'll give you a hint. It's going to be hard to beat Nolan. It's going to be hard. It's going to be really hard.
He's been really impressive. But in terms of like this stuff, this is coming. This is good stuff.
Oh, buddy, it's coming.
This is what we're going to get into. We just haven't gotten there yet. We've been bogged down with this team, which is unfortunate. But we're
bogged
about
down is the operative word.
We will switch over, and it will be glorious.
We might not even wait for Arizona. I think it might be Monday Night Football, and then fuck it. We'll do like a season.
We're gonna, in memoriam. We're going to create a real plan, get it organized, break, really get into what we're looking for. We got to create an apparatus so we can wrap our hands around it. But love the questions. Love the passion.
Love thinking ahead, you know? Love giving us the script.
We're just talking about Passion of the Christ.
Not
just
a big fan.
Just love it.
Big fan. Jim Caviezel. What an actor. Mel Gibson. Right. Directing his ass off.
All right, so those were that was our what? That was our what?
That was something. It was a wish list. You know, we might get some. We might get none. Let's talk about the Brock Purdy contract situation, Jake.
Sure.
Listen, We got plenty of time to get down to brass tacks. I'll just lay it on you. Here's what I think they should do. I think they absolutely should sign him. I think that there's no benefit whatsoever to dicking around with franchise tags or possible holdouts, XYZ. I think that Brock Purdy is an exceptionally capable quarterback. I think that he has a shoulder injury right now. I think that his offensive line is doo-doo, and I think that his pass offense around him is wildly inadequate. I know that a lot of people out here are saying, just go get Sam Darnold. Well, when Sam Darnold and Brock Purdy were in the same team, there was no question in anyone's mind, including Sam Darnold's, who should be starting. Brock Purdy has been to two NFC Championship games and a Super Bowl, and he is 24 years old. You sign him. Now, what you do is you prorog the living bejesus out of that contract. If Brock Purdy is everything that you once thought him to be, then there's no problem because you restructure and you reload and you just load, bump, bump, bump. This is going to work out great for everybody. You get the clock started. You pay him a bunch of money when you have some salary cap space. Cap's going to keep going up 10, 15%, maybe even 20 one year, every year. You will have wiggle room, but you get the clock going. And what you do is you don't lock yourself into a massive guarantee. Yeah. You limit your time, you limit your term, you limit the amount of money that is guaranteed to pay out so that not next year, but a year from now. So when we're talking in 2026 about Brock Purdy, you can have a conversation on should you just dump this guy, and it won't be prohibitive to do so. But the next 2 years, you better have a quarterback. You don't want to be the idea of tearing this thing down and starting from scratch. Like Kyle and John don't have that much wiggle room to do that. So you're going to have to be rebuilding on the fly, which means that you're going to have some guys who might be a bit over their skis. You better have a quarterback in that situation. And there's no way to get a quarterback full stop other than the one you have.
And a lot of the talented quarterbacks that go early, one, they're not going to be in your range. And two, it's like Kyle, it's like you wouldn't want them. It's like when someone's too talented, he's not interested.
No, yeah. Then now I can't make them a vessel of myself.
Remember,
now.
He's going to draft Mac Jones and then people.
Mac Jones is loving life right now, by the way. He's back.
By the way, they should have gotten him as their backup once again.
I agree. We were all over.
We talked about it at the time.
They should have gone and gotten Daniel Jones as a backup, and I still think that they have a chance to do so. I just think that the money is going to scare people. This is the natural aspect of inflation. We had a number in our head. We're anchored to that number in our head. The markets have exploded, and so now you're going, he's not a $60 million quarterback. Okay, probably not. What's your alternative? Sam Darnold at 45, 50. Because the idea that you can, his franchise tag's 41. The idea that, hey, we can just go and get him at 41 is foolish because it's the most important position in football. The reason that Dak Prescott's worth $60 million a year is because somebody out there would have given him the $60 million a year. So the idea that you can just go get Sam Darnold for his actual market value, well, the market hasn't spoken yet. Right. They'll ramp that thing up. Now you're in a bidding war. Look at what Kirk Cousins just got. Kirk Cousins coming off an Achilles tendon injury. So lock in what you have and actually look at this season as a blessing that now you have at least some leverage in negotiations to protect yourself in the worst case scenario. Brock will get paid $150 million guaranteed over a 4 or 5 year span, but you will have the ability after a year or two to get out of that contract at something close to willy-nilly. That's how I would handle it.
I don't know if they're going to be able to pull that off. I think that's the ideal world. I just think with your quarterback, a guy who's been paid nothing forever and who you're saying everything relies on him, I'm not sure you can get away with it.
I don't understand why. Listen, that's fair. Like, I'm not saying you're wrong. We don't know until it gets going. But if you're Brock Purdy and you have $4 million in the bank and you're, you know, making probably more money off of advertisements, and the San Francisco 49ers come at you and say, we'll give you $175 million or $150 million guaranteed, is he in a position to roll the dice? If so, that's fine. Then you're getting what a lot of people want, which is, okay, we'll talk about this at the end of next year. And we could be coming in with more money because you've earned it, or we could be coming in with less money because you didn't, and you repeated this year or worse, because we're not going to have as much talent around you. Or we can both look at the situation and say, hey, you're not a market-setting quarterback, and we can make this work for everybody.
It is funny that every quarterback is like, I reset the market. I reset the market. Whoever it is, if they're...
Dak Prescott had 10 years, right? He's been a quarterback forever, and you're operating against the Dallas Cowboys. I think that you need to go the full parag on this thing. I think it needs to look a lot more like the Lenore contract than the Bosa contract.
It's a quarterback. It's not going to work that way. I don't think it will work that way.
Then what's the downside of pushing it that way?
There's no downside to pushing it. You should absolutely go for it.
And you need to walk away if that's not where it goes.
I don't know if they'll have the courage to do that. We'll see.
Okay. Well, that's on them. Because if they're going to, you think about how they've negotiated in the past. They've pushed, and they've lost and lost and lost and lost, right? Like, you need to have the conviction to walk away if Brock Purdy turns down what is truly your best offer, because you maintain the leverage, right? You maintain it. Oh, well, we're worried about it being toxic or this and that. It will be fine. Right? Like, you have to believe in the character of Brock Purdy. You have to, enough, you believed in the character enough to offer him $150, $175 million guaranteed. Why would you not trust that he would handle his business professionally? He has everything to gain by being a professional. So you let it go. You look at the trade market. If someone wants to come in with what, two firsts, you take it?
Yeah. Yeah. And then you just reset and you go get, I don't know, the corpse of someone. You go get Mac Jones, and then you draft a quarterback in the middle, and you just say, all right, we're gonna build elsewhere.
My point is merely the worst case scenario in this situation is you have Brock Purdy play out the final year of his contract, and then you franchise tag him. And Brock knows that. He knows that that's on it, that they will franchise tag him once, twice, three times a quarterback.
They won't, though.
Why won't they?
They're afraid of the franchise tag. They hate it. They do every year.
Then they deserve all the bad things that are about to happen to them.
Absolutely. I'm not disagreeing. I think they should be more prone to using it, but they just don't. They just don't. They should have done it with BA, and they didn't.
I'm telling you, I agree with JAM1. I don't think that anyone's trading two first for Brock Purdy because they would have to pay him. This is the Kuminga thing all over again.
No, I agree.
No one's doing that. Now, if someone offers it, you take it. I think that's the only thing that we're putting out there. If someone offers one, I don't think you take it, because you're probably going to have to use a first-round pick on a quarterback in the next couple of years then anyway. And you might have a very high pick because you don't have a fucking quarterback. So you go to Brock and you say, we are willing to buy out the final year of your contract. We paid you like $1.3 million. We are going to guarantee a lot of it up front. We're going to pay it out early. We're going to give you the high AAV. You can tell everybody. You can go to the quarterback meeting and tell everybody that you're the highest paid quarterback. But much like Amador Lenore, who, hey, I'm the highest paid nickel in the history of the NFL. $92 million, whatever. In reality, it's like a year and a half contract. Like, there's nothing there. You have to put in parameters that save yourself. And if the 49ers are too afraid to do that,
I don't think they're afraid to do that. I just don't think Brock's going to go for it. I don't think him and his agent will go for that. Now, we'll see how it gets negotiated. But I just think if you're a quarterback and you're like the guy, you're Brock Purdy, you're saying, all right, you have to give me 55 to 60. That's what the market is. And you got to guarantee 2/3 of that. And sure, you can have outs in year 4 or 5, but the first three, I'm locked in. I just think that's, and if I'm him, you're not playing next year at all.
Okay.
Until you get that money. I would completely hold out if I was him.
I don't think that holding out is going to help his cause at all.
Or you do the thing, you hold in and you go and you practice, but you're like, I'm not gonna play week one if we don't get this done. Burrow kind of did that. Burrow kind of, if I recall,
he had an appreciable injury. No,
He had the calf come up, I think, during the negotiation.
Wow. I'm
before
just
last year.
Okay, how about this? 3 years, all guaranteed. At let's call it 50.
No.
3,150. No? What about 3,165?
I think he'll want 55.
I just gave it to you.
That's, yeah.
Three years, $55 million a year, all guaranteed. Is that a good deal for the 49ers?
And then years four and five are just...
No, I'm literally talking 3 years. Three-year contract. All
they
guaranteed.
Wouldn't want to... They don't like that level of...
Oh, I know. I've seen their void years, Jake. They're ridiculous.
But I don't hate that.
Would the Niners offer?
Probably not, because it's not really a win. You're not getting any flexibility down the road. You're not buying in, because when you do these contracts, you want to have some late-term flexibility where you say, all right, we can, in year four or five, we get back a lot of this leverage and we can move this guy for something. We can renegotiate this deal. I think they would say, all right, if we're doing that, we're getting years four and five basically on our own terms. So I don't think they would structure a deal that way. Especially given, I think my major concern with Brock is like, is he doesn't have the elite arm talent, right? Is it a major concern to commit to a guy for three or longer if he doesn't have that arm talent and he's had injuries? And one of them is a freak injury, but you have to ask the question.
It's an injury, yeah. I would set the limit. I would put the limit probably a lot lower than Brock would want it. And I think we just play it out that way. But I think there has to be an upper threshold.
But then
threshold.
You end up to the thing that we talked about where they're late in the summer or whatever, and it's uncomfortable, the thing we
said
they
need to avoid. Here's another thing that they can do, because it's just put a deadline on it. We will not talk about this after training camp starts. Full stop. Here's the offer. Here's the deadline. We want you to be our quarterback. Here we go. And if you don't, that's your prerogative, man. No harm. No. You're under contract. No
your
harm.
Prerogative.
Just saying. I think that they need to learn some lessons from the last negotiations. And if Brock wants to make it all, if he wants to make a whole thing, I don't think that's one in his character. And two, I don't think it's in his best interest.
Yeah.
But if he wants to go about it that way, so be it.
Fair.
But I would offer him, if I'm being real about this, I would say you offer him 5 years at like $55 million a year, but really it's about 2.5 years worth of guarantees. So I would have 100%. About 150, 155 in guaranteed, and then I would make sure that it's front-loaded so that, hey, we can get out of this for about $10 million a year on the dead cap.
It's both front loaded and back loaded.
Yeah. But maybe there's some void years and there's a void year or two in there, but I would get out of it so that you can easily cut him 2 years from now.
Yeah.
Maybe not easily 2 years from now, but certainly easy 3 years from now.
Yeah. I'm with you. I think this leads into sort of a bigger picture question. Mm-hmm. And we asked last episode for people to submit questions.
Yeah.
I think we only got one. But
yeah, y'all
one
suck, but this guy didn't.
It was one guy who submitted four. So fresh. One. Thank you. Ooh, so fresh one.
So fresh.
He has some great questions. So
okay, lay one of them on me. I got pen and paper.
One of them was, will the 49ers still pay Brock Purdy, QB money? We just talked about that.
Yes.
I think
they should try to pay him fullback money, but it would probably not going to go well.
Probably won't go well. No, his fourth question, because I
think fans want him to get paid wide receiver money because they still think that's quarterback money. And it's, guess what? That's now corner money. And now wide receiver money is more.
Listen, we're all reeling. Inflation, it really hit us all. We all got confused.
Goddamn Biden.
No shame. So one of his questions was, can the 49ers realistically fix this in one offseason? Or is this a long-term climb back to real Super Bowl contention? That's a great one. We'll get to that. Two, and then I'll just mention his others, and then we can talk.
Wonderful.
One, what are the priority positions, position groups to scout / target in the draft? Will there be an opportunity to add starting caliber free agents with all the upcoming contracts?
Okay. Let's go with realistically fix in 1 year. Yes. Yes. And that has one, they'll have to nail it, which is probably a bridge too far to concede. But what are you competing against? That matters just as much. Like, legitimately, look at the NFC West. Who's supposed to win this fucking thing? The Rams?
It's going to be the Rams.
It's going to be the Rams. The Niners are not that much worse than the Rams. They are worse, but they're not that much worse than the Rams. Both of their games have been egregious performances of football for both sides. Seattle, I love a lot of what Seattle's doing, but like, as long as Geno Smith is their quarterback, I can't be overly concerned about the Seattle Seahawks. They get a good quarterback. Hey, they wanted to give 2 first-round picks for Brock Purdy. Now I'm concerned about the Seahawks. Not that that trade would ever happen. The Cardinals, guess what's happening with the Cardinals, Jake? Come on down. You can get rid of Cliff Kingsbury, but you still have a Oompa Loompa quarterback who can't get through the second half of a season because he's got hits on him. And every year, like clockwork, Kyler Murray falls apart in the second half of the year. I'm starting to think it's an overall trend in his game. That's who you're competing with in the West. The Lions are going to be appreciably worse next year. And by the way, it's already happening. They're getting their 49ers 24 out of the way right now.
Their bodies are collapsing.
It's unbelievable. It's like, really, like, I've been on the Packers since preseason. I've never felt better about it. Eagles, go right ahead. Go right ahead. Please, I beg of you, consider the Eagles.
Aren't weird at all over there with the quarterback and wide receiver hating each other and then doing a little dance.
Yep. Yep. 100%. Just one. What a great operation. No way that regime collapses at all.
Jalen Carter laughing at Nick Sirianni.
Well, Nick Sirianni, like, is Big Dom, you've joked that Big Dom is actually the head coach of the Eagles. Like, no better evidence that he's actually the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles than this past one. I will say, as our friend Ian points out, Green Bay is pretty flipping awesome. They're only going to get better. That's one team. That's one team. I think that if we're just laying it out today, which of course is not how it actually works, we're going to see what Michael Penix has for us coming up this weekend. Maybe you throw the Falcons in there next year. But ultimately, the Vikings are 11-2 with Sam Darnold as their quarterback. I love a lot of what they're doing. Brian Flores might actually get another head coaching job, which is a terrible decision, but someone's going to maybe make it. The Vikings are not going to have as much turnover luck last year. Like, they're a rock solid team. They're in it. Detroit will still be a solid team next year. There, we can pick out a team that's going to come on up, but like, the West is totally gettable no matter what you do. You could half-ass this offseason and you're still in it in the West because you're just not as injured year over year. And you have some appreciation of the you know, young assets that you currently have. The NFC overall, I think there's only one team that I don't think, if you have a great offseason, you can't get over the top on, and that's Green Bay. That's it.
And Green Bay is a chaotic, like, they live and die by Jordan Love.
Jordan Love. Yeah.
And I don't care what I see. Like, I don't trust that guy. There are times in the same game, you'll see the greatest quarterback you've ever seen and the worst quarterback you've ever seen. And it's the same guy.
He's a blast. He has Brett Favre on one shoulder and prime Aaron Rodgers on the other. And they're just constantly fighting it out.
It's having the worst dialogue of all time. just going through his ears.
Two worst people ever. Yes. Just going at it from opposite spectrums. My God. The Overton window really needs to come back to the middle here. But that's the team that you have to worry about in the NFC. And then, you know, you worry about the AFC later because it has nothing to do with you. You just compete with the people who are directly in front of you in the division,
right?
People who are with you in the NFC. I am of the mindset that there is not a high bar being set in the NFC and that the Niners can get back to it.
And here's the thing. If you get to a Super Bowl and you face one of those really, 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 really good quarterbacks, you hope, but you got to retain Dre Greenlaw, and you just sick him on him. Just say, Dre, you go murder them, go commit a war crime.
That would require this team to play man-to-man defense, which is apparently something they're completely unwilling to do.
It's a quarterback spy, but it's different. Where the
it's not even the defense. That's called a hitman.
Yeah, that's what you hope if you get to the Super Bowl. Yeah,
that's got to be a priority, right? To answer the second question, one of the priorities is bring back Dre Greenlaw and figure it out from there. But you need two great linebackers on this team.
I think when you go to the offseason, so let's just go moves that I'm thinking of. Mm-hmm. Purdy. Extend Purdy.
Yep.
I think you retain Dre Greenlaw. If it comes between him and Hufanga, obviously Greenlaw.
No question.
You would ideally like to get Hufanga back for anything like at most $3 million, right? That might seem
high. Have no idea what his market's going to be. He's such an idiosyncratic player.
I have no idea either, but yeah. I will say.
But will you? Jake's Wi-Fi sucks. And he refused to get a long enough cable cord to actually handle it. So let me go through. What were you going to say there, Jake, before you went off into the interstellar void?
I think since it's been raining here, my Wi-Fi has just...
That doesn't make any goddamn sense. That doesn't make any sense.
I have gig internet. Yeah. I have gig internet. It's
great. Oh, evidently.
It was great.
Evidently.
It was great. What I was going to say... Greenlaw, bring him back. You maybe try and bring Hufanga back for cheap, whatever. You cut Debo, you cut Hargrave, you cut Juice. All three of them out the door. Then, if you have one guy you go after in free agency, it is Drew Dolman. If it's too steep, then whatever. You try and bring someone else for cheap, and or you draft. Last, you draft. You got...
That's such a good joke.
It's tough.
Sorry.
Huff should leave the club on. I think it makes him a better player.
Mega Man.
By the way, in this game, and we will do a separate film segment on Dre Greenlaw.
Yeah. Unreal.
At one point in this game, Dre Greenlaw gets up from a hit. It's the second one in a row on Kyren Williams. And he headbutts Talanoa Hufanga very hard.
Yeah.
And Hufanga is both reeling and also into it. He's like, hell yeah.
I love that. Whenever you can be the far more energetic player than Talanoa Hufanga, that's crazy. That's insane. The Talanoa Hufanga is like, whoa, let's tone it down there a little bit there, buddy. That's insane. Dolman, the center. Yeah. Going into the draft. Hold on. Cali Forever has this. Two high paid linebackers. Some teams don't prioritize linebackers at all. This team has to. This team has to, because they don't prioritize defensive tackles at all. I know they've paid money, but they do.
They do prioritize defensive tackles, but they have a misunderstanding of the defensive tackle position, because the way the game is played sort of passed that sort of archetype by, where you just have a guy who jumps upfield and pressures the quarterback. That can work if, like, Hargrave was in a five-man front a lot of the time with the Steelers, and he was like a true nose, and he could just attack, and that worked in certain ways, and it worked with him for the Eagles, but they don't have that sort of front, and they don't have guys who can just hold up and two gap, so they need that.
Don't even need to put words on that. He's not
getting it will be. We'll see.
Okay, so now here we go into the draft. First two rounds, defensive line, offensive line. There are no other options. You could figure out which way you want to go. Defensive line, offensive line. I want an offensive tackle that you can put in at guard day one, move him over to tackle at some point. I want a defensive end, preferably, but I'll also take an impact tackle three technique.
Yep.
Everything else, toss it in. There's a bunch of positions they can go with. You need to come away with two day one starters at those positions. You need a left guard. You need at least a three technique, if not an opposite defensive end, opposite Bosa. I think with Gross, Matos, and Floyd, you're probably okay. I don't love it, but you got to prioritize someone.
You can do worse. You still have Okwuanu coming back. You got a little bit of options. I want to go back to an older comment earlier in the stream. This goes back to the move they made to keep Ambry Thomas on IR, and then they waived him. They lost Jarrett Kingston due to that move. You know who they also, instead of Jarrett Kingston, you know who the Rams' starting center is? It's Bo Limmer, out of Arkansas, who they drafted Jarrett Kingston over him, and now he's a starting center for the Rams. So that was an option, and I did ask, and I know that you'll say this is revisionist history.
No, you were all in on Limmer.
But we literally talked to, I asked RJ Gillen, who's like one of their, they've got two number twos, Tariq Ahmad and RJ Gillen. And I was like, what about Limmer? He's like, well, we had a different sort of set of things, basically three cone drill. And so that's probably why they drafted him. But Bo Limmer, I'm not saying he's the greatest center ever. I'm saying he's a rookie who was found late in the draft, who's starting day one for a team that might win the NFC West. And that sort of matters.
It absolutely does, and he's gotten a lot better as the season has gone along. He was kind of a disaster the first couple weeks that he was in there, and he is looked, he's mauled. He's done some mauling as of late. Not perfect, but some mauling as of late, and they feel really good about that potential. Now, that's a team that spent a lot of money on their offensive line. That's pretty much where all of their money's going outside of quarterback and Cooper Kupp. So we can get into it. Like, I wasn't a big Zach Frazier guy coming out of the draft.
Neither was I.
We often align like that.
I did love Graham Barton.
You love Graham Barton. Everyone loved Graham Barton. We knew Graham Barton wasn't a realistic possibility because he was so clearly the number one guy. Apparently, Bortolini's playing pretty good for the Colts.
Yeah.
That was your guy first and foremost. I hitchhiked along on that one. There were some good centers in this draft. I'll say this. This draft at very surface level, an outstanding, outstanding defensive line draft, and I think a really, really good offensive line draft. It is, in particular, a bad quarterback and wide receiver draft outside of the very early options. It will probably be just enough really good wide receivers early. McMillan, I believe is his last name, the Arizona kid is.
Oh, yeah.
Whew,
yeah.
Whew, he's good. Luther Burden is an in-between possibility. He is a boomer
bust.
That's
your son. That's your son.
Well, he is a true son, but it's not to say that I'm not sure I'd be in on him. I think also, by the way, I'll toss this out. If Burden is sitting there, he might be in the range for the Niners. That's not a bad Debo replacement. I don't think that's the way they should go, but I'm saying it's something we need to talk about as a possibility. I would go deeper. I think there's a lot of players in college football that have a lot of similarities to Debo Samuel these days. I'd push it. I'd hold off on that and roll the dice on a later round pick. But it might be such an easy one for one with a Yak Bro,
yeah,
slot guy, that now you got something.
It's not bad. Yeah, that'll be interesting to see how they sort of handle that. I think they'll probably go D-line. I think you just need to find a defensive tackle who's strong enough, physical enough to actually hold up in both areas.
Like if Walter Nolan is there, you run.
Yeah.
You run to the table.
No question. No question. And then I think you go, you can use your mid-round strategy for offensive line, but you need it to take multiple swings, and at least one of them has to be minimum third round or higher, and you need a tackle.
I will say this, as of right now, I think it would be foolhardy unless the Niners have a very specific, unless it's like Nolan, I think it would be foolhardy for the 49ers to draft where they stand in the first round. If I'm the Niners, I am trying to load up on second round and third round picks because you need a lot of top 100 bodies. And if I can get two instead of one, that's what I'm doing. I'm going full Patriots, and I'm trading down and probably getting out of the first round altogether so that I can get a couple. I can get a guy in the second and another guy in the third for that first rounder. So unless it is just, you got to do it, you got to do it, you got to do it.
Yeah.
It's so obvious you don't do it. Because like, as much as you and I both loved Pearsall, what would this team have done now knowing everything? What would they have drafted? I think they would have just traded down, and they would have gotten a couple more bites at the apple in the second and the third rounds.
They're also stubborn, though, so maybe they wouldn't have done that. And they probably would have gone.
I mean, no. It'd be nice if they threw him the ball, but they clearly needed a wide receiver come around week seven when they had to rush him in after not practicing at all because they ran out of wide receivers. So
yeah. And the move would have made a whole lot more sense if they had done the rational thing and move on from Debo or Ayuk, and they didn't.
which then they're like, well, we're going to do it next year, so we're going to draft next year. And but then the rest of their draft was drafting for this year. So there is – that's all hypothetical at this point. Final one. Yeah. What was the final question?
We want to know the priority position. Can they add starting caliber?
Yeah. I have OPPSCFA. That's a terrible note, Dieter. What is that?
Yeah, I think they can make one decent sized addition. They have there's ways you can structure contracts where you can make moves even if it seems like it's not viable. They have an option, but yeah, they can't go swinging on Hargrave and Ward on multiple moves and they spent a fair bit even this offseason.
So Debo Hargrave is almost certain to be cut post June 1, right? So that will be actually months before then, but with the post June 1 designation. Debo too. Is there somebody else that they could put into that second spot?
I think they'd get rid of Debo. I think it's time to get rid of Juice too.
But Juice, you don't need to do any of the silly business. You only get two post June 1 designations.
I'm not sure. I think it's you can have multiple post June 1s, but there's only two you can designate in advance. I'm not sure if it's two June 1s or if it's two you can designate.
That's a good question.
June 1s early.
All right.
I think that's what
we need
is.
To reach out to a cap guy on that one. That's a good question. Is it literally June 1 or is it designated June 1?
Guys you can designate as June 1s early. It's like what they did with Armstead. There's two veterans you can do that with, but I think you can do multiple posts.
Yeah, you can cut anyone you want at any time you want beyond that, and you can wait until after June 1st. It's just not a nice way to do business.
Yeah.
And if you were to say to somebody, hey, we're going to cut you after June 1st, but we're going to keep you on the roster until then, pretty sure the NFLPA would have something to say about that.
With all their power.
Well, right. They can make your life a lot more difficult than it needs to be.
It's true. So, What else do we have? Anything we want to?
Well, we're gonna do a breakdown of Greenlaw and maybe even Brock's shoulder. We're gonna get some tape there. I don't need to give us all 23 Ricky Pearsall snaps. One was of course, a Hail Mary, but I don't think we need to do that video again. Even though it'd probably kill. Did you catch any of the Dolphins over the weekend?
I did not. I did not catch a single snap of the Dolphins. I was busy. Having fun.
I was too busy
living life, having a panic attack, reading a book about space, which is, as folks, that's my number one fear. Is the
space. Really? The sun exploding?
The sun exploding.
You wouldn't feel it. It'd just be over.
That's reassuring. And on that note, that's very Kyle Shanahan of you.
Yeah. We're all going to die. Maybe we'll see you Sunday. Maybe we won't. We will do another one of these on Friday. Check out the Jake's Film Room breakdown. That's going to go up at some point, either Wednesday or Thursday. And then we will have a post game stream on Sunday. My goodness. Where does the time go?
We'll have Greenlaw tape for you. We'll have the pregame preview, post game. And that's right. Thank you, Woodpit, for being on my side. I appreciate all you fine sick folks.
And you know, I took a look at some numbers recently, Jake, and we don't do this on principle. Y'all know how YouTube works. You don't have to subscribe if you don't want to. But if you saw this and you've made it this far, you've hung out an hour with us. I know that some of you hang out with us for an hour week in, week out, and you don't subscribe. So you should do that and make your life easier. It doesn't cost you anything. And, you know, it does somewhat help the channel. I'm not sure how. But let's find out on the other side and let's find out together. What do you say? Okay.
Appreciate that.
We'll talk to you all later. Bye.
Thank you, folks.